This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Shaoning and Roshan Gunnison. It has just gone past 7:36 in the morning, a Thursday, the 26th of November. And in about half an hour, it's The Breakfast Grill, where I will be speaking to Dato Alexander Nanta Lingi, who is the Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs. Now, under Budget 2021, this ministry received an increase of 6.33% in their operating budget and, of course, had a boost in various subsidies and programs to help people and local industries hit hard by the pandemic. So its minister joins us this morning to talk about what his plans are, especially in matters like trade barriers, food security in this crisis, and the Price Control and Anti-Profiteering Act. And of course, I will be asking him about the unity budget and Sarawak politics, especially the state elections, which are due sometime next year. So interesting stuff. Definitely tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, let's talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah, Shaoning, Bitcoin mania is back in town as investors of all stripes rush to get a piece of the cryptocurrency action. Briefly, yesterday, Bitcoin breached its record high in 2017, surpassing the $19,500 mark. It's now up more than 40% in November alone and has more than doubled in 2020. But we've seen this storyline before in 2017 when Bitcoin reached its peak and then crashed at the point that led to calls for tighter regulations to mitigate its volatility. This time, however, I guess the question is the rally backed by broader mainstream adoption? And with that in mind, is there more upside to this Bitcoin boom?
So for some analysis on this, we speak to Gabor Gerbex, Director of Digital Asset Strategy at the investment management firm VanEck. Good morning. Now, Bitcoin looks to be heading back to that all-time highs. What do you think has been the driving force behind this rally?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me. The driving force to this rally is institutional adoption. This morning, I just published a blog about this, and so you'll be one of the first ones to see it. We believe that there's been a number of drivers. One of the drivers is VanEck launching a Bitcoin ETN in Europe, a physically backed Bitcoin ETN just today. The other driver is in the United States, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, allowed banks to hold Bitcoin. Two other drivers that we look at a lot is that companies such as MicroStrategy or Jack Dorsey's Square have decided to purchase Bitcoin for their balance sheet as a treasury asset. Cumulatively, they purchased about $300 million of Bitcoin that's now worth over $700 million. So, good time for them. Definitely a sign of adoption there on the treasury front. On the payments front, we have seen PayPal adopting Bitcoin to their 346 million customers and 26 million merchants around the world. So just to summarize, payments adoption, treasury adoption, and VanEck's new fund are some of the drivers behind Bitcoin. The blog and research piece I published is focusing on how this time is different from 2017, the rally being more institutionally driven versus retail speculation driven. We believe that the markets have matured since 2017.
But then some critics also argue that the crypto world is notoriously opaque, and unlike stocks, which are somewhat still rooted in economic and business fundamentals, understanding Bitcoin price action is near impossible even for the savviest investors. Do you agree?
It's hard to understand any asset. I think the best analogy that I can find for Bitcoin is gold. Gold is Bitcoin is sort of digital gold. Right now, Bitcoin trades about two-thirds like a technology stock and one-third like gold. So if you look at a finite commodity with some technology characteristics, that's how you look at it. So definitely not as much sort of like cash flow analysis that you can do for a stock, not as much fundamental research you can do. However, if you study it such as gold, then that might be a good analogy. And right now, Bitcoin is roughly $350 billion asset. Gold is around $9 trillion. And we believe that as Bitcoin acquires market share on that front, it has potential. So analyzing alongside gold is one way to go about it.
Okay, but the issue is that if I look at Bitcoin, what is it as a financial asset? Because, is it a store of value or is it a medium of exchange? Where does it fit in, actually?
So Bitcoin right now at this stage is a store of value, a relatively immature store of value that is growing with institutional adoption. So in my study called Investment Case for Bitcoin, I studied the addition of 1, 3, and 5% of Bitcoin to portfolios. And we indeed noticed that it behaves part of the time as a technology stock and part of the time as digital gold. As the asset is growing, it's becoming a better store of value. So asset allocators should think about definitely as a store of value, not as a medium of exchange. You don't want to buy a cup of coffee with Bitcoin. That's not the goal of it. You would like to make sure that you hedge against inflation, totalitarian regimes, and larger economic issues that are around the world with a currency that's decentralized, peer-to-peer, and not controlled by a government.
And just one last question. Do you think some argue that the recent rally, the 40% rally in November, is really a function of fear of missing out rather than fundamentals?
I don't believe that's a fear of missing out type of rally. Again, for the reasons that I mentioned, fund development, regulatory developments, treasury adoption, and increasing payment adoptions are the drivers behind Bitcoin. And I work with regulators around the world, the US, Europe, and Asia, and regulators are increasingly recognizing Bitcoin as an alternative for gold or as a complement to gold. So some people may complement their gold portfolios. So I think that's happening slowly. Institutions are coming in. And what we have noticed just launching our fund, we've worked on it for a number of years, that institutions are looking for a regulated fund to access the space. It's too, you know, too early. Some people don't believe in exchanges, but regulated funds are one way to access the space.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Gabor Gubex, Director of Digital Asset Strategy at VanEck, giving us the reasons why Bitcoin has rallied as much as 40% in the last month. And he's got some interesting points that he sees it like a 2/3 tech and 1/3 gold kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin in the day gets its value from the fact that it's scarcity value, right? There's only a limited amount of Bitcoin you have in the world. And recently, we've seen some of the big players like PayPal and Square start using it as part of their treasury. And I think it was reported that when PayPal started allowing Bitcoin to be used in its services, they bought up 70% of all newly mined Bitcoin since 4 weeks ago. So these are some of the things, right? There's only a limited amount of it, and there's a lot of buyers at this point.
Yeah, some analysts also kind of correlate this with the current low trust in government. But I'm always surprised that people are willing to trust the mysterious Bitcoin founder. Very little is known about him. But up next, we'll be speaking to Wong Chen, MP for Subang, on the latest budget 2021 developments. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.